I'd like tonight to preach from a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that probably many of you know by memory, but one that the Lord has taken me back to many, many times. That's what's so wonderful about the Word of God is the fact that you may know it by memory, but God always brings something fresh and something new.
That's right.
We don't have to have something that's a way different, but God brings the same Scripture over and over and gives us a new approach and a new outlook.
Yes, amen.
So let's turn to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the place, unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up of the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. I'm a great believer in reading the Word of God in a gospel service.
Amen.
I'm a great believer in maybe reading more than just the text. So many times, we have a lot of preaching, we have a lot of shouting, and I like it all. But the Word is very important. The Word is our food. And for our text, I'd like to use this very familiar scripture, verse number 14. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal our land. Our Father and our God tonight, we pray tonight that you minister to our hearts. Spirit of God, would you move in our hearts? We pray, oh God, that you move on every soul that's here. May we, Lord, have our ears tuned heavenward, that you will speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory. Praise God. Brother Walker was telling me that he felt like revival began Sunday night. And that's wonderful. But you know, when we have revival, God's got a recipe for revival. You ladies that cook, you know, you have to have a recipe. I heard a lot of ladies say, well, I don't use a recipe. I just cook for this, that. They may not have it written down, but they got a little handful of this. They got a pinch of that. They got just a smidgen of this. And they'll just put it, you know by looking just how much. You might not have it on paper, but you got a recipe.
Yeah.
You know just how much.
Yeah.
And you know what? God's got a recipe
yes,
for it.
Yes, he does.
He's got one all written down, and it's our text for tonight. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Praise God. real revival sweep over this church.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! I'm talking about something. You know, real revival will break through the doors of a church and go to other places and other people.
Yeah.
Real revival will spread out. And aren't you hungry for it tonight? Aren't you hungry to see God move? But let me tell you, when we see God move, there's always a condition that has to be met. There's a recipe that we have to follow to see revival. Whether it was in the days of Solomon when he prayed his prayer and he was in the presence of God, or whether it's in 1973 in these wicked and evil days, God's recipe is just the same and it hasn't changed. And did you know it begins with us?
Yes.
Because the scripture says it's my people. He doesn't look out there and he doesn't see out in the world. Oh, if the sinners would just come to church, we'd have a revival. If we could just get them to move. But no, sir. It begins on your shoulders and my shoulders.
Yes,
and God's word said it's my people.
Yes.
Not the sinner, not the unbeliever, not the backslider. But in my people which are called by my name. And did you know, Christian brother and sister, you and I are responsible for revival.
That's right.
We're responsible for revival. We're living in a day and time when it's hard to get the sinner in the church. It used to, you know, when we'd have revival, they'd come out of nothing else to see the show. But our show is pretty tame compared to television today.
That's true. Amen.
But sinners don't come to church. We've got to go out and get them.
That's right. Amen.
We've got to go out and get them. And sometimes you've got to win them to God even before you bring them to church.
Uh-huh.
You've got to minister to their souls. And you and I are responsible. The Bible
That's
says go
right.
out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in.
Yeah.
But it says by people who are called. Have you ever thought that God's people are very precious chosen people?
Yes.
They're called people. Do you remember when God called you? Do you remember the time? I remember when God called me. I was just a little girl. I was so small. Some people don't believe that little children can be saved at that age. But I'll never forget how God dealt with my heart. I was 5 years old. And as a little girl, my daddy was a preacher. And I wanted to go to the altar and get saved. And you know what? Old pride was already in my heart. And I thought, if I go there, what will people think about me? Well, my dad's the preacher of this church. The very idea. What a foolish thing, but it's no more foolish than adult thing in that way. And I'd sit back and tremble under conviction. I didn't understand much about the Bible. I only knew two things, that there was a heaven and a hell. And I knew that to go to heaven, you had to go to the altar and pray and ask Jesus to come in your heart. That's all I knew. My theology was very limited. But I knew enough. I'd reached the age of accountability. God was dealing with my heart. And if I had died without accepting the Lord, I'd have gone to hell. Because I had received the life of the gospel. And I'll never forget. I went to church on a Sunday night, and we had a little girl in the service, and God blessed her, and I thought, if she'd ask me to go to the altar, I'd go. But I didn't go. We went home and we knelt for family altar before we went to bed. Everybody was hurt, was trying to hurry because everybody was tired. But God was dealing with my little heart. And I knelt at the foot of a big old staircase. You know what happened? God had called me. God knocked at my heart's door.
Hallelujah.
He called me. You remember when he called you?
Hallelujah.
Everybody else got up, but I stood on my knees. And my big old daddy looked down and put his head on my hand. He said, honey, what's the matter? I said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
We had a prayer meeting in God's place like that night. He called me. But he called you.
Yes.
He called every one of you. You are called by God. Called by his name. Hallelujah. You know what? We in Pentecost are my best people.
Yes, we
God
are.
God has blessed us. I think we got the best church in the world in the assemblies of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
I mean it. I think we've got the best. God has blessed us and he's given us angels food to eat.
Yeah.
He's given us manna to eat. Sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, that the preacher was a little bit dry. But maybe we're dry as well. Or maybe that preacher's kind of fanatic. I don't like him. He goes way overboard. Or that preacher's too straight. I don't like the way he preaches. says in the last days, men won't be able to respect themselves doctrine, but keep to themselves teachers, having empty ears. Oh, how blessed we are of God. With those that are able to handle the word of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
But able to take it and to use it in our own lives,
yeah.
Praise God. There are those who have been called of God, they're never satisfied with what the Lord sets on the table. Well, I don't like the food over here. I'm going somewhere else. Y'all get right down to where we live. I'm talking about a recipe for revival.
That's right.
A recipe for revival. We are called people. And we need to recognize how fortunate and how blessed we are when God has called us by His name.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. God has given us manna to eat, but we can't have revival with any murmuring or complaint. You say, Sister Watson, are you talking to us? I am. I'm talking to every one of us. And all of us are human. And sometimes when carnality begins to rise up, we murmur about this and we complain about that. It was murmuring and complaining that kept the children of Israel from the promised land. And it's murmuring and complaining will keep the blessings of God out of this church, out of Highlands and San Antonio, or First Assembly in Lubbock, or Amarillo, or anywhere else.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're called of God.
Yeah.
But we've got to come God's way before we can have the blessing of the Lord.
That's
and have
right.
Any revival.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're a highly favored people. God has given us
Amen.
The freedom of the Spirit. The freedom of the Spirit. Aren't you glad? You know, I never did like to go to an Assembly of God church, and brothers and sisters, there's plenty of them. Where if you go and you said amen real loud, they turn around and look at you. Or if you begin to sing and begin to clap your hands like this, they'll look, well, what on earth are they doing here? Oh, I like to go to church where I forget about who's sitting by me. And the Lord blesses my soul. I will lift my hands and praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, that's just the God we are. Whenever we can turn loose and let go and let God. God has given us freedom in Him. And I want you to know He expects us to take it.
Amen.
Glory. If my people, which are called by my name,
yes, hallelujah,
will humble themselves. Did you know humility is something we can't put on? Oh, I've seen people put on a really righteous look when they're full of old devil, haven't you? I know some people like that. You can look at them and, oh, I used to have a neighbor one time. She would talk so sanctimonious and tell me how good God had been to her and what God had done for her, and the next week she'd have a drinking party.
Yeah.
But you can't put on humility.
That's right. Very good.
You can't make out like you're humble because if you either are or you aren't.
That's right.
You know, sometimes I think if we spend as much time working on the inside of ourselves as we do the outside, we'd be more beautiful inside.
Amen.
Oh,
okay.
I'm not downgrading how you look on the outside. But God wants us to look the best we can. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we honor Him. We honor Him when
yes.
we take care of our bodies.
Hallelujah.
And I think we especially ought to come to church and honor God's house with the best we have.
Amen.
But I still feel like that this old heart and this old soul is the thing we need to work on more than anything else.
Amen.
And that's God, Lord, help
yes.
me. And did you know humility yes. is something that God doesn't give you. You have to humble yourself.
Amen.
We have to humble ourselves. Have you ever felt something kind of rise up in you, kind of a little self-pride or a little self-satisfaction that's too much on the borderline of pride. And all of a sudden, God begins to work you over, and you've got to just push your old self down. Don't be ashamed of yourself. That old pride's cropping up in your life. God can't bless you unless you're a humble person.
That's right.
Humble yourself, the Bible says. Did you know there's nothing worse than a Pentecostal snob?
Amen.
Have you ever seen one? Let me tell you something. You know, I was raised in Pentecost. I was raised back in Depression days. I, like I told you a while ago, I knew Sister Williamson back when nobody had anything. If the ladies had one good cotton dress to wear to church, well, that was just a kid. But if the ladies had one good cotton dress to wear to church, and the men had a pair of khakis, they washed the iron and starched those clothes and wore to church. Money was hard to come by. We had very little food to eat, but I never felt underprivileged. Oh. Everybody was in the same boat. Times were hard, jobs were scarce, and my daddy was a preacher. And sometimes we had to pray at our food that was on the table. Yeah. Let me tell you, I've met some of those people after they began to prosper after God has allowed them to prosper.
That's right.
And they'll stick their nose up in the air like they were raised on silk stocking row. And they were born with us. You know people like that. I see it in Pentecost, brother.
Uh-huh.
Oh, if God has blessed us, if God has prospered us, it's not because of who we are, but because of God's goodness.
That's right.
And His mercy. Hallelujah.
Oh.
And God help us to humble ourselves. We're not too good to go in the least little hut here in this town and be a friend to somebody that's in need and somebody that needs their help. That's the way to show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God wants us to have the spirit of humility.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more displeasing to God than the person that knows everything.
That's right.
Did you ever come in contact with somebody that knows it all? I don't care what it is. Never needs direction. But you know, God is pleased with our lives no matter how long we've been serving God.
Yes.
To throw ourselves on His mercy and say, God, I've got to have Your help. You know what? I know there's a lot of people in this world today in Pentecostal churches. And they don't want to hear anybody preach unless it's somebody that's big name and big time. You listen to me. In our CA group at home, and in every group I've ever been, little teenagers, I've seen them get up. And I've seen them stutter and stammer when they get up to bring their first little talk. But my soul has been blessed as they brought the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
God will bless our hearts if we have an open heart and realize we can learn from a little child sometimes.
Yeah.
After we've been saved for many, many years, and this is the spirit of humility that God will give us in our hearts, we can learn from the very youngest.
Amen. Amen.
It's pride that keeps men and women from weeping and lifting their hands and praise God. I've seen people that get up and testify and shout, oh, maybe get up to the service and make a big to-do, oh, praise God, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And they want to tell you about when they got the baptism 40 years ago. But when they go to the altar, they get down and they take the tuck in, and you never see them shed a tear. You never see them lift their hands. They never get excited about anything. I wonder what happened to the Spirit of God in their lives. The same pride that keeps the person from receiving the baptism will keep us from receiving blessing and make us lose out with God.
That's right.
The Scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves.
Yes.
Oh, that old song said, humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. Humble thyself, and His presence will cheer thee. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with God.
Hallelujah.
But that's not all. My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray.
Yes.
It's been said that more things have been wrought by prayer than this world dreamed of.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But I'm going to say this. There's more said and less done by prayer.
Anything
in our lives.
Amen. That's true.
God takes us back to our need. I think that when in the Bible, when the Scripture says, I have somewhat against you when you've lost your first love. I think part of the first love that we lose is our love of the altar. Our love of being in the presence of God. Our love of communion with God. Oh, Jesus. And people think, well, we're going to have a revival. We're going to have services. We'll come to church. We'll sing a few songs. We might get happy and shout. And the preacher's going to preach and we're going to have revival. That's what's going to bring. We're mistaken. because I want you to know revivals are prayed down from heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
By the saints of God.
Hallelujah.
I've seen many a little mother, and she was timid, and she couldn't testify in church, and there wasn't much she could do. She might be frail in body, but she knew how to pray and touch God.
Yes.
I never will forget revival Bro Watson had in the early part of his ministry, when he was just a young fella, just starting out, and God moved, and I want you to know they had a large landslide in that little town. She was frail in body. She couldn't come to church. She went in and locked the door. And her husband was a wicked man. But all day, that little lady had a prayer list. And she locked the door. And that old man stood out the door and kicked the door. All day long, but that little mother kept praying. She kept praying and kept talking to God. And you know what happened? Every person on her prayer list was saved in that revival. Not because the preacher was a good preacher. Not because it was great talent. Not because of great personality. But because somebody prayed and touched God. That's God's recipe for revival. It won't come down any other way. Unless God's people will humble themselves and pray for God. You know, it's always been a mystery to me. You can call prayer meeting.
Yes.
Maybe it's not that way in this church. I don't know. Because I don't live here. I haven't heard anything but good about you. But when we've got the best in our church, and we've got wonderful people, but I tell them the same thing I'm telling you. We can have an ice cream supper and everybody and his dog will turn out. They'll bring all their kin folks and all their neighbors, and everybody in the church will come. Oh, we like fellowship, we call it. But you call a prayer meeting, you can almost count on your hand the number that will come.
That's true.
And then we'll get up and say, oh, I've heard many a person say, oh, I wish we had services like we did back in the good old days. I wish we had services and they liked to tell how Sister So-and-so would shout and went all over the building, and how the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would draw sinners in the building, how they'd run from outside. You know what happened? People prayed.
Amen.
People prayed. I have you ever been in an all-night prayer meeting when you interceded before God and you say, well, you try it sometimes.
Yeah.
It produces results. As a mother raising my children, I found out I had to pray all night for a million times.
Amen.
To keep them in touch with God.
Yeah.
And I shudder to think where they'd been if I hadn't prayed.
That's right.
But are we concerned about somebody else's boys and girls? Enough to pray and see, God, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Are you willing to pray for revival? But you know, prayer is not enough. Just prayer. It says, and seek my face. And seek my face. This takes a real old-fashioned intercession.
That's right.
The kind of prayer that comes way down from deep in our souls.
Yes.
The kind of prayer that almost breaks your heart to pray because you feel it so deeply. Jacob wrestled with the angel and he said, I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. It took all night for him to get the victory. The problem sometimes in our churches, we'll have a prayer service. The people that come first will meet the ones at the back as they come up because our prayer services are so short. Sometimes we've forgotten what it is to see God's face and to intercede.
That's
to intercede in the presence of God. Have you ever had a burden hit you so hard that you felt weak physically from it? It hits you right down here now. This is where it lies. That's why Jesus said to the woman, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right here is the seat of the emotions. And right here is where we feel a burden. And when you pray, until you get victory, until you feel that burden release, is whenever you feel, you know that God's going to hear and going to answer prayer. Intercession is not the kind of ministry that everybody's going to know about. Intercession is not the kind of ministry that a person can brag about and say, isn't that person a good intercessor? Oh no, it's a hidden ministry, something you do behind locked doors.
Oh,
and maybe your family may not understand you, and maybe your husband will think you kind of gone off your rocker, and maybe your children say, look, all mom does is go
my daddy Craig.
God protect my girl from compromise. I could hear my mother's voice, it wasn't so loud. And she could say, oh God, keep our girl. And it's been many years I lost both of my parents from the time I was 22 years old. But today I can still feel old prayers following me. I can still hear them in time of stress and time of temptation. And don't you get discouraged if you don't see an answer to your prayer overnight. Because the Bible says that your tears are wound up in heaven. Yeah. And he takes note of the prayer of the righteous blessed be his name.
Hallelujah.
We were pastoring a church in North Texas many years ago. We had a revival. We had a great revival. We had a lady in our church. She had gone and her husband had come with her son. He never would make a move for God. We had others saved in the revival. We had some wonderful healings. We had several received the baptism. But we all had a burden for this young man. And it just seemed like we couldn't stand as that revival closed with him unsaved. The preacher made the altar call. So long, and the Spirit was so faithful to the end of his soul. He left the building just as soon as we dismissed, for while people were still in the altar, he went out to the car. He was under such deep conviction. Many people had gone home. In fact, most everyone had come home. The evangelist was there, and my family was there. The lady whose husband was in the car was still in the service praying. There's one other family. One man was still in the altar. He had a beautiful voice, and he sang in our services. He hadn't been coming there too long, but God had placed a burden on his heart for this man. The man was out in the car with the windows rolled up. The church doors were closed, so the man couldn't hear a thing in the car that was going under the church. But God heard the cry. I never heard such cries as that. It was almost like the cry of a lost soul because God put a spirit of intercession on that brother's heart as he began to sing like the beautiful music that he sang as he got up to sing a song. Oh, the heartbreak and the heartache as he wept in the presence of God agonizing for that soul of that man out in that car. I don't know how long he prayed. And a little bit we looked at it. And the door burst open and that man went out of the car, hit that altar. And you know what brought that man to God, Mr. Buddy, well, that brother and your
intercession.
That's what brings revival. That's what brings revival, the intercession of God's people, praise God. Do you know the scripture that Bill doesn't stop here? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Remember, God's not talking to the sinner here. Do you know sometimes Christians begin to take up things that they know are wrong?
Yes. Amen.
And a bound Christian is one of the worst things that there is. Somebody that's a Christian that becomes bound by the things of the world. We begin to leave off our prayer life. And evil will begin to creep in our lives.
Yes.
In this day and time, we've seen things happen. I tell our young people at home, I think I was born 30 years too soon. They tell us when we counsel with somebody, we're never supposed to show shock. But I'd be showing a lie if I didn't at some of the things that are happening nowadays.
That's right.
I'm actually shocked to the very roots of my being over some of the things that are happening today. Happy to people that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see broken homes. We see broken vows. We see illegitimate children. We see sins that were only whispered in the very privacy of your calling. That are found in the open today and flagrantly violating and wanted to everybody. Because the Bible says that he's a man that keeps saying,
Did you know we haven't made it?
That's right.
Just because you and I are saved right now, you may feel like you're ready for the rapture, but tomorrow Satan could come and pick you up. I've seen people in the last few years that I thought, I thought if anybody was going to make it, they would. But they turned loose of the hands of God. And they have not turned from their wicked ways. They've let those wicked ways grow and grow and grow. And today they're so far from God that I don't know. God's able to bring them back, but they've got to be willing to come back before He'll bring them back. Things that are present in many of our churches today are things that sometimes we don't understand. Not just churches right here, but all over our land, things that are happening. Part of it is the love of the world. Did you know you can love the world and never go to a worldly place again?
Amen.
You don't have to go to the theaters and the dance halls and the beer joints to be worldly. You become worldly when the things of this world become more important than the things of God.
That's right.
And as Christians, God is trying to impress us to hold the things of this world lightly.
Yes.
Hold them lightly because they're so important in the light of a great and a glorious eternity. Everywhere we turn, the filth of the world confronts us.
Yes.
Dirty, filthy magazine. Nudity on every hand. And it's become the accepted thing in many of our Pentecostal circles, but in the eyes of God, it's still sin.
Amen.
Things are bold on television and on the street corners that a few years ago they put somebody in jail for doing.
Yes.
The smut and the filth that's turned loose on our nation. No wonder Peter tells us to save yourselves from this warped and twisted generation. You say, well, Sister Watson, are you talking to us? We're Christians tonight, but we need to take heed and take warning. Sometimes the devil can put a little wedge in our lives, and things in our lives that are displeasing to God can hinder the Bible.
That's right.
That's why we need to search our hearts and search our lives and say, oh God, let the searchlight of the Holy Spirit out of my heart.
Yes,
lest there be something in my life.
Yes,
the move of God and the move of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You lay your snow, it doesn't take but just a little pinch of yeast to make a big batch of bread. Just a little cake. And it will grow and grow and grow. And that's the way it's sin does in the life of a man or woman. I've heard a lot of people say, well, Sister Walker, I'm standing on God's promise. We can stand on God's promises. Aren't you glad we can?
Amen.
But you know, to every promise, there's a condition that has to be met.
That's true.
There's a condition to be met. And when we meet the condition, the Bible says here, God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. And oh, how it needs to be healed.
Hallelujah.
How it needs to be healed.
Yes.
John writes and he says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And God wants to heal our land today if we'll just let Him.
Yes, amen.
But we've got to meet God's condition first.
Amen.
I hope all of you come back again tomorrow night.
Amen.
And bring this many more with you.
Amen.
Every night we expect the Lord to do something special for us. Because the things that we receive from Him.
That's right.
And if the Lord continues to lead, I've been praying quite a bit today. If the Lord continues to lead, I feel like maybe I might be preaching beginning tomorrow night on some last day events.
There you go.
In 3 nights, you sure can't preach much because there's so much about last day events. And what I'll do with the help of the Lord, I would like to try to just hit the high spots, beginning with where we are now, up until the end of time. And that's going to be a big order for 3 nights. And of a necessity, I will just hit the high spots. I'm not going to the types. I'm just going to go through the order of events as is in the Word of God. And I'm not much for speculation. Where the Word of God is not clear, I feel like we do good if we have ideas not to preach it as God's truth.
preach it as maybe what, how we feel, because there's many things in studying prophecy that one person will interpret one way and one another where the Bible isn't clear. And my opinion is, this is my personal opinion. Now, some other fellow may have his opinion to preach what he feels, but I feel like that where the Bible is not clear, it's better for me to have my ideas and preach, well, this is how I feel. And someone else may feel something different. But there's enough clear in the Word of God to show us where we're living today.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the more I think of it, the more excited I get. Think about that we're living in the days of time and Jesus could come at any moment.
Yes, amen.
And I prayed, oh God, keep me ready.
Amen.
Keep me ready for your return. So if you have unsaved loved ones, if you have unsaved friends, bring them out and let's pray that God would stir their hearts and stir their lives to know that we are living in the last days and we don't have very much time.
That's right.
To work for God. Praise God. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, for our scripture reading tonight. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your holy presence. We pray that you would speak to us tonight. Give us just what you need. May our hearts and our minds be open to thee. Give holy unction from on high to bring the word. For without it, Lord, we're nothing. Thank you for it tonight. Yeah. We'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his glory. Praise God. I'd like to use for a text tonight the very latter phrase, a clause in this 11th verse. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This scripture that I read to you is talking about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the voice of one that cried in the wilderness. John preached a very forceful message. He preached a message of repentance. I was just studying today some of the things that John the Baptist preached. And he preached a really rounded out message.
Yes, he did.
He preached a wonderful message. But he paved the way for Jesus' coming. Now, John the Baptist might not have been welcome in some Assembly of God pulpits. He was a little bit kind of off the deep end.
Uh-huh.
He wore camel's hair. He was kind of crude looking and crude acting. He didn't preach like Paul or Apollos in the New Testament. But he was like an Old Testament prophet. And he was way back in the backwoods, but the whole countryside came out to hear him. All the big Pharisees and the scribes and the whole land turned out to hear John the Baptist. He was straight.
Yeah.
He didn't care what people thought. He was going to preach the truth. And he stirred up the whole community. You know, aren't you glad that God has a diversity of ministry?
Yes, amen.
He uses us just like we are. And you may say, God, use me? Well, I don't have any ability and I don't have any talent. It's wonderful what God can do for people.
Amen.
And John the Baptist was used. Oh, he may have been crude to some people, but God blessed him and anointed him. And he had great revival in his day and time. But the crowds gathered to hear, and he realized there was deep corruption in the heart of man. But a cleansing of water was not enough. He told the people, I'm coming and I'm preaching, but I'm just preparing the way for somebody else to come.
Yeah.
I'm going to baptize you in water,
yeah,
but the one that's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to get down and tie his shoes. I'm not worthy to be a slave servant. But when he comes, he's going to not baptize you with water, but with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Hallelujah.
Now that little phrase, we talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, but we don't hear much about the fire, but that's what I want to talk to us about tonight, about the fire of the Holy Ghost, because it's very important,
yes,
that we as Pentecostal people realize what the fire actually means,
yes,
all through the Word of God.
Yes.
Fire was an emblem of the presence of God.
Yes.
Fire was an emblem that God was there. You remember old Moses on the backside of the desert when God appeared to him. God appeared to him in a bush that was burning and yet was not consumed. And Moses knew he was in the presence of God. And he took off his shoes, because in the East, that was a sign of awe and reverence, to take your shoes off in the presence of deity. And that's what Moses did. You remember when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, and they had the cloud by day, but at nighttime they could look up in the sky and they saw a big pillar of fire.
Hallelujah.
And that pillar of fire said to them that God Almighty, the supernatural God of the universe, was leading them and would show them the way.
Yeah.
It was an emblem, so the emblem of the presence of deity himself.
Hallelujah.
And wherever you read about fire in the Bible, you can know that God was manifesting his glory,
yes,
and his grace. Now, there are many emblems of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Some almost seem to be opposites.
Uh-huh.
Because when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and there's no more gentler bird than the little dove. Amen. But on the day of Pentecost, clothing comes like as a fire set upon the disciples, upon the 120. But had you ever thought, when the Holy Spirit descended, Jesus had nothing to be burned out of his life. And the disciples and the 120 were just like you and me. And they had a lot to be purged from.
Amen.
They had a lot to be purified from.
Yeah.
And oh, so many beautiful ways the Holy Spirit is typified, because Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is a rest and refreshing. It's typified as the dew that falls from heaven and so on. But tonight we want to deal with the fire of the Holy Ghost. John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And before we can know him as the gentle dove of the Spirit, before we can know him as the refreshing rain or the dew from heaven, we have to know him as a refining fire.
That's right.
As a refining fire of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus came to this earth, and he walked among men. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. And he performed many great things. But he did not come to condemn the world.
That's right.
Nowhere in this book do you read where Jesus condemned the sinner. But to the woman at the well, he gave her everlasting life.
Yeah.
That water, that was an everlasting water. He went home with Zacchaeus.
Yes.
He was known as a friend of the publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees criticized him. I never knew you read in this book. Now, he'd take the Pharisees and the scribes to a cleaning.
Yes, he would.
And he'd tell them, the religious leaders, tell them just what kind of ungodly and wicked lives they were living. But he was a friend to that sinner. He came not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost came to be the reprover and the rebuker anyways. One thing that fire does is that it awakens.
Yes, it does.
I was reading here some time ago. Back in the year 1666, the Great Fire of London broke out, and it was a terrible thing. There were 5 days of intense burning flames that destroyed 4/5 of the city of London. It was a terrible thing. People were homeless, and business places had been burned to the ground, and places that had been long time standing and were landmarks were completely destroyed. It said that there were 13,000 buildings that were completely consumed by the fire in the great city of London. And the flames were so hot that the fire penetrated deep down into the earth, way down into the heart of the earth. And the people left their homes and they were gone until the ashes had cooled off. And then little by little they began to come back. And when they could come back, they looked at what had once been their homes, had once been their places of business, had once been civic places, and they saw nothing but just the charred remains. And they began to try to clear off the ashes and rebuild again. And some of the people, as they were trying to clear the ashes, they began to look down, and they saw little plants beginning to spring up in the ground. And in just a few days, those plants began to bring forth the most beautiful flowers. And do you know those flowers were flowers that they had never heard of before, nor seen before? You know what had happened? The heat of that fire had so penetrated deep in the earth that it had awakened little seeds in there that nobody knew were down, way down in the ground. Only God knew they were there, but it took the heat of the fire to bring them out.
Yes.
And you know, I've seen the Holy Spirit do the same thing to lives of men and women.
Amen.
I've seen people that look like they had no ability, that they had nothing in their lives that God could use. But you let them get filled with the Holy Ghost and let the fire of God begin to burn in their soul. And you see beautiful flowers begin to blossom in their lives.
Yeah.
And beautiful deeds are done in the name of the Lord because the Holy Ghost is there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the fire has awakened the possibilities in their lives.
That's right.
Oh. I'll never forget. Several years ago, two of our ministers went to Africa. I know Brother Wamper remembers this, and some of the rest of you might possibly remember them. Went to Africa, and they were killed in a plane crash. One was a presbyter in an East Texas section. This man, I had known him since I was just a young teenage girl. In fact, he and I had gone to school together. He attended my father's church when I was a teenage girl. And this old boy, when we were going to school, was from way back in the back country. Way down the river bottom. We had a class or two together. And this poor old boy was so timid that when the teacher would call on him to recite, that he'd take the tuck head. I guess he just passed by his written paper because he never could recite in school. And he'd come to church, and he'd sit right back there on that back seat. And if somebody started back to even speak to him, that old boy would run out and sit in the car. He had nothing to do with the young people. He had nothing to do with anybody, I guess, but his own family. And we kids, we just didn't know what to think about him because he was so timid and so backward. The years passed. My dad left that church. And when I married, Brother Watson and I moved back in that area and pastored a church close. We visited the church my dad had pastored. The pastor there told us, said, I'd like you to stay and hear a young preacher that's preaching for me tonight. When I walked in, I saw it was that little old backward boy. He looked different. He had a boldness. He had a delivery. And he was fixing to marry the preacher's daughter there. Do you know what happened to that boy? God got a hold of his heart. He knelt at an old-fashioned altar, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God knew that the fire of the Holy Ghost would awaken the possibilities in his life that man could never bring out, that education could never bring out, but it took the fire of the Holy Ghost to awaken the possibilities in his life. And you may be here tonight, and you may feel like you can't do a thing, but you get filled with the Spirit, and let the fire of God focus on consuming. Do you remember the days of Elijah? The contest that Elijah had with the priest of Baal up on Mount Carmel. And I'll tell you, all they had was there to see it all well done.
Yeah.
And the contest was this: the God that answers by fire, let him be fire. You know the story. You know how that the priests of Baal began to cut themselves. They leaped upon the altar. They went through every contortion imaginable. Old Elijah just stood there and watched. And I'm sure he had a grin on his face because he had his faith in God. Hallelujah. And he says, why don't you cry a little bit louder? Why don't you cry and let her say your gods may be asleep?
Yeah.
Maybe they've gone off somewhere. Just holler a little bit louder. And those poor old stupid priests began to cry a little bit louder. And they hollered a little bit louder. But to no avail. But Elijah, the man of God, he had his trust in God Almighty.
Yes,
and you know, he made it hard for God. He prepared the sacrifice. He got it all ready. And then he took 12 barrels of water. And he literally drenched
yes,
it. And dug a trench around it. And the water was running in the trench. Elijah just get down. And he didn't go through any little magic formula. He didn't have any ritual. He didn't have any magic words, but he prayed a simple prayer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what happened? The fire fell from heaven.
Yes, it
and it consumed the sacrifice.
Lord.
It consumed the altar. It licked up the dust in the trench and all the water because fire consumed. And I want you to know that's what the Holy Ghost does.
Yes,
when the fire of the Holy Ghost begins to burn in our hearts, he begins to consume things that are displeasing to God. This may not be popular preaching, but until we let the Holy Ghost consume self and our selfish attitudes and our selfish ideas and our little pet peeves and our little hurt feelings, I want you to know, brother, sister, we'll never be of any benefit to the kingdom.
That's right.
But you can't do it by yourself. You got to let the Holy Ghost do some work in your life. Let him burn and let him consume those things that are displeasing to him. You know what the biggest foe to the gospel is? Carnality. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The biggest foe, the biggest enemy of the gospel is carnality. We can't die up to self ourselves. Paul said, I die daily. But he had the work of the Holy Spirit to help him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it takes the Holy Ghost to begin to burn the dross out of our lives. Blessed be his name. I was talking about the fire in London. The year before, the great fire of London broke out. The dread bubonic plague. It's been all over Europe and it hit London. It was a terrible time. Called the Black Death. And 1/5 of the population of London died. People became panicky and they began to leave the city by the scores. They left the dead and the dying in the streets. People would get sick in just a few hours. They'd just fall out dead in the streets because it was a terrible thing. And in houses where the bubonic plague had hit, the people would get out and they were required to paint a big red cross in the front of their house and write these words, Lord, have mercy on us. And people were afraid because they didn't know when they'd be hit next. Many people died. Those that didn't, a lot of them left the town. It seemed like that maybe the plague would die out for a little while, but then it would break out again. But do you know the great fire of London hit that city and it burned for 5 days. When the people got back to clearing the ashes and the rubble and trying to rebuild their home, they began to look at one another and they said, do you know, we haven't had one case of the plague. We haven't seen one person come down with the plague. Do you know what happened? The fire had burned all the germs and all the impurities out of the air and out of the building. And there was not a trace of it left. Because fire doesn't only awaken, it doesn't only consume, it'll do some purifying.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Because it takes a pure fire to burn out the impurities. If you want to sterilize something, you ladies know you got to boil it. It's got not to be just warm. And that's a problem sometimes in our lives. We get just enough of God, and we get just enough of the Holy Ghost that we get kind of tepid. Yeah. But God said, I would that you were cold or hot, for if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Job says, and when he's tried me, I've come forth as gold. And gold's got to be put through the heat, and it's got to be put through the fire for all the dross to be purified out. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, you know some instances in your life when the Holy Ghost began to do some purifying in
your
life.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. If you haven't, you haven't gone very far with God.
That's true.
Because fire purifies. When I was a little girl, there was one place I used to like to stop on the way home from school. I started the school during the early 30s, and I think they were some of the coldest days Texas had ever known. Brother Wampler remembers those days too. But I had a long way to walk home. I lived in the city of Austin. It was a long way from that school to where I lived as a little first, second grader. And I found out the nicest place to stop, first my mother didn't like me to stop. She said it was no place for a little girl. But it's a place you boys and girls and young people probably never seen. It was an old blacksmith shop. I liked it mostly because I could get in and out of the cold. And it was so nice and warm. And when I'd go in there, just plain old hot, because that old blacksmith would always have a big roaring fire going. Some of us kids would stop by there, and I just love to watch that man. I don't know why that place held such a fascination to me, but to this day I can remember some of the most thrilling things that I saw. And one thing that just literally mystified me was how that he could pick up an old piece of cold iron. And it was so hard, and we girls had tried to take it and bend it, but you know you can't bend iron. There's no way you can bend it. But that old blacksmith would take that piece of iron and put it in the fire, and he'd leave it, and that fire was hot. It wasn't just a few little embers. It wasn't just a few little coals, but he'd put it in a blazing, roaring fire, and he'd put that piece of iron in, and then we just thought it was magic. He could take that iron, and he could turn it, make it go any way he wanted it to go, because there was something about that fire that made that old piece of iron pliable. It began to soften the iron. And you know, that's what the Holy Ghost does. When the fire of the Holy Ghost begins to burn in hearts and lives, I've seen old hard necks begin to bow in the presence of God, and hard hearts melt in the presence of God, because the fire of the Holy Ghost produces something. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. And when the Holy Ghost works, I want you to know, he softens our hearts and gives us different attitudes and does some changing in our hearts and our lives. Then I'd see him, and I never will forget, one day we saw him go out the back alley, out where they picked up the garbage, and on the old garbage heap, he picked up an old cold, rusty pipe. We thought it was supposed to be picked up by the garbage man. It was no good. It was thrown away. It was ugly. We didn't want to even touch it because we knew we'd get the rust all over our clothes. We saw him take that little piece of pipe, and he put it in the fire. Hallelujah. And to this day, I can remember how fascinated I was as a little girl. And I watched that little piece of pipe, and all of a sudden, it began to change color. It began to glow. It had the most beautiful radiance. It didn't even look like that old piece of junk that was picked up out in the alley, out in the back, that was thrown away, that nobody wanted. Because you know what happened? The fire transformed it. And the fire of the Holy Ghost has transformed me alive. Hallelujah. Oh, there's not a one of us, but that's all we were worth was the old garbage dump. There's not a one of us. All we're worth is to be cast aside and thrown away. But God, by His Spirit and by His power, has let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn our lives and transformed. I've lived for God for many a year, but I am amazed at the transforming power and the grace of God. And we see people in our church at home, people that have lived Christian lives for years, but I thrill to their testimonies. We have a man that's a preacher in our church. He's our song leader, and he's one of our Sunday school teachers. They have a wonderful ministry to rest homes. But he gets up, and with tears running down his cheeks, he'll tell what God delivered him. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. He didn't have any packs of cigarettes he smoked today. And he said, I was wicked. And he said, I didn't care anything about God, but God drew me. I look at that man. He no more looks like that kind of person. It's hard for me to believe he ever did all he did. But I know that the power of God transforms.
Oh,
hallelujah. Thank God for the transforming power. Don't ever get tired of telling what God's done for you. Oh, it's a miracle how God can transform a life. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost will do the job.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be his name. And the early part of the beginnings of our nation, when people wanted to travel, they had to travel by buckboard, wagon, horse, whatever they had. No automobiles, no airplanes, no buses. Either walk or be pulled or carried by a horse. No motels, no hotels, and the cities were far apart. And if you had to spend the night, you had to stop and camp. When night was coming on, the first thing that travelers did was to build a fire. They'd build a fire, first of all, to cook their food, but that wasn't all. They'd build it for protection from the cold.
Yeah.
But in the early part of the founding of this country, there were many wild animals that were lurking on every hand, especially in this part of the country. The coyotes were everywhere. Down in South Texas, most any kind of animal you can think of, it still lurks in some of those jungle-looking places. But travelers learned that if they build a fire, there was something about that fire that would repel an animal. They would come so far and no farther. They'd come up close enough where you could be snug and warm by that campfire, but you could look out in the bushes and just ride out. Right out there where you could see them, and you could see the eyes of those old animals just gleaming at you. And do you know that's what we do in our lives? Tonight we're building a fire of the Holy Ghost, and we want to build it big and let it burn brightly and burn big, because right out there we can see some old eyes gleaming in the dark, because Satan, our adversary, is going about as a roaring lion. But I want you to know, if you've got the fire burning, Satan is repelled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. He can't come to you. He can't attack you.
Right.
He can't get an advantage over you at all.
Hallelujah.
The fire of the Holy Ghost is burning in your heart and burning in your life. You let those embers begin to burn down.
Mm-hmm.
You let your fire come down to just a few little coals.
Yes.
All covered up with ashes. And Satan's going to pounce on you.
Yes, he will.
The fire of the Holy Ghost protects us from the onslaught of Satan.
Yes.
I want you to know we're living in days we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I don't know your need here tonight. I don't know whether everybody in this building has received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the normal Christian experience. The promise is unto you and your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if you're here tonight and you have not received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you are living beneath your privilege.
That's true.
You're not living in God as you should. God has got something better for you.
Amen.
God's got a greater walk and a better walk. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God.
Oh.
The Holy Spirit helps us to live above sin.
Amen. Amen.
He helps us to live a life that's above reproach. But we've got to come God's way. You say, well, Sister Watson, how do you receive the baptism? We have so many confusing ways that people tell us to receive the baptism today.
Uh-huh.
But you know, there's no set way to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You say, well, are you supposed to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands or tarrying in the altar? I want to say this. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when your heart's right with God to receive it. I've seen people receive the baptism, and it's beautiful with the laying on of hands. And you don't have to tarry 10 years to receive the baptism. But your heart's got to be just right with God before God, will, the Holy Spirit will come in. You've got to want the baptism and be hungry for it more than natural
food. That's right.
You've got to surrender your future, your will, and your all in the hands of God. You've got to surrender old P-R-I-D-E, and it's kept many a person from receiving the baptism and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
They're so afraid that they're going to cry and mess up their face. They're so afraid that they're going to raise their hands and get a little bit boisterous and a little bit loud. But you got to be willing.
Yes.
You've got to be willing. You've got to say, Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, no matter how foolish that I may act. We've got to crucify self and crucify flesh.
Amen.
Before God will fill us with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget years ago, we were held in revival. One of the pastor's wives, she was old enough to be my mother. She was telling me how she had received the baptism back in the early days of Pentecost. And she said, there was no Assembly of God then. It was before the Assemblies of God was organized. But it was just Pentecost had come in the community they were in. She said, I like to dress up and look nice. And she still does. She's way up in years. But she's still a nice looking old lady. And when you see her, she's all dressed up sweet and nice. She said, my husband went down to that Pentecostal meeting, and he got it. Then he came home and said, I looked at him and I said, John, we're ruined. You just ruined us. You've ruined us now. She said, he didn't say much to her. He kept going back. And she said, there was so much going on down there, she afraid she was going to miss it. And she went on. Said she learned a little secret when she first started going. She said she found out if she'd sit back there, people come back there and worry her. God help us today. She said, so I learned to go to the altar. And she said, I learned just how to pray. Said I didn't want to miss a thing. Said I really saw some interesting things. Said, this is the way I pray. I look through my fingers, just like this. Said, I want to see everything's going on. Said, one night, a lady got the baptism, and she got so happy, she began to dance all over the place. And she said she had on real high heel shoes, and she kicked one of them off. And she was dancing with one shoe off and one shoe on. She said, oh, that made me sick. Said, I went home and told my husband. Said, now you know that's not even decent for a woman to do that way in public. Said, you know God's not in such as that. Said, he never said a thing, but she kept going back. Then another night she went and the man got the baptism. And you know God works in some beautiful ways. He works in ways that everybody's experience is so personal. It's just tailor-made to offer. And when this man got the baptism, his tongue was sticking way out his mouth. And so he talked in tongues and said his tongue was way out. And she thought that was just awful. She said, now, John, if you don't quit going down there, we're really going to be ruined. But she kept going back. Glory! She kept going down there and praying through her fingers. And she said one night, she got down there and somehow or another she forgot to open her fingers. And she began just talking to God. She was disgusted with her husband. But all of a sudden, a hunger swept over her. And she said such a hunger swept over her that she told God, God, I got to have this at any cost. I got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit at any cost. And Lord, I'm hungry for it. And said before she knew it, her hands were raised. And she was speaking in tongues. And then she said she just was completely lost. Said she didn't know anything that went on. For I don't